So today we're going to be reading from Samyutta Nikaya 12.23. It's called Proximate Cause. And this is known as the Upanisa Sutta in Pali. So we talked about dependent origination for quite a bit, understanding dependent origination. Dependent origination is the elaboration of the first and second noble truths. This is the transcendental dependent origination, which is the path leading to the cessation of suffering, which means this is the elaboration of the third and fourth noble truths. So it begins, at Savatthi, Bhikkhus, I say that the destruction of the taints is for one who knows and sees, not for one who does not know and does not see. For one who knows what, for one who sees what, does the destruction of the taints come about. Such is form, such its origin, such its passing away. Such is feeling. Such its origin, such its passing away. Such is perception. Such its origin, such its passing away. Such are volitional formations. Such their origin, such their passing away. Such is consciousness. Such its origin, such its passing away. It is for one who knows, thus, for one who sees thus, that the destruction of the taints comes about. So understanding what? The impermanent nature of the five aggregates. These are the modes of our experience. Form, feeling, perception, intentions, and consciousness. Understanding their impermanent nature, which leads to understanding that they are not worth holding on to, which means that they are not to be considered me, mine, or myself. When you truly experience this, when you truly know this for yourself and see it, when you understand the links of dependent origination by actually experiencing them after you come out of cessation and let go completely, then the destruction of the taints is possible, which means arahatship. I say, bhikkhus, that the knowledge of the destruction in regard to destruction has a proximate cause. So there is the knowledge that the taints have been destroyed, and there is the actual destruction of the taints. It does not lack a proximate cause. And what is the proximate cause for the knowledge of destruction? It should be said, liberation. Vimutti. Here, it's really implying the experience of cessation of suffering, cessation, complete cessation. Mind makes contact with Nibbana, and from there, there is liberation of the mind. I say, bhikkhus, that liberation too has a proximate cause. It does not lack a proximate cause. And what is the proximate cause for liberation? It should be said, dispassion. Dispassion, remember we talked about dispassion as detachment, vairagya, right? That is the mind that is in a bubble, unaffected by whatever is going on. Remember that story of holding on to the bowl of oil and just watching that, not being affected by what's going on around you. So staying with the mind, not letting, even things are bombarding the mind, not letting the attention sway there. You become aware, okay, there's a lot of stuff going on, but if you keep your attention on your mind, then dispassion is present, being unaffected by what's going on. I say, bhikkhus, that dispassion too has a proximate cause. It does not lack a proximate cause. And what is the proximate cause for dispassion? It should be said, revulsion, disenchantment. Remember what disenchantment is. You've had too much of that chocolate cake, or you've had too much of that favorite meal of yours. You've seen too many of these thoughts in the mind, and you're kind, it's tiresome. You want to do away with them. You're done with them. So if they keep coming up, you don't care. You're just disenchanted with them. You're staying with the quiet mind. I say, bhikkhus, that revulsion too has a proximate cause. It does not lack a proximate cause. And what is the proximate cause for revulsion? It should be said, the knowledge and vision of things as they really are. This is yatha bhuta jnana dasanam. Seeing things as they actually are. The knowledge and vision of things as they actually are. Which is synonymous with upekha. Equanimity. The perception of equanimity leads to the perception of disenchantment. The perception of disenchantment leads to the perception of dispassion. The perception of dispassion leads to the perception of cessation. So, if the mind is starting to plunge towards cessation, but it's not getting there completely, there's not enough dispassion. If there's not enough dispassion, move one step backward. Go to the disenchantment. If the disenchantment is not strong, go to the equanimity. What if the equanimity is not too strong? Now we'll see. I say, bhikkhus, that the knowledge and vision of things as they really are too has a proximate cause. It does not lack a proximate cause. And what is the proximate cause for the knowledge and vision of things as they really are? It should be said, concentration. Samadhi, ekagata, a collected mind. If your mind is not collected enough, that means there won't be equanimity. So if you don't have equanimity, that means you need to strengthen your collectedness. How do you strengthen your collectedness? Now we'll see. I say, bhikkhus, that concentration too has a proximate cause. It does not lack a proximate cause. And what is the proximate cause for concentration? It should be said, happiness. Happiness here is translated from the word sukha. Comfort. Being at ease with everything. Being in the mind, in the body as it is. No discomfort. But what if there's no discomfort? What do you do then? Or rather, what if there is no comfort? I say, bhikkhus, that happiness too has a proximate cause. It does not lack a proximate cause. And what is the proximate cause for happiness? It should be said, tranquility. Relaxation, pasati. If the mind is not comfortable, there's agitation. If the body is not comfortable, there's agitation. Pull back your attention a little bit. Relax, soften. Remember, drops. Don't resist or push. Soften and smile. Relax. But what if you're not relaxed? Then what do you do? I say, bhikkhus, that tranquility too has a proximate cause. It does not lack a proximate cause. And what is the proximate cause for tranquility? It should be said, rapture, joy, piti. There's not enough enjoyment in the process. If you get too technical, am I in this jhana? Do I have enough of this factor? Am I staying with my object in meditation? Are the hindrances present? Did I do the six R's correctly? If you get too technical, there's not enough enjoyment. Let go of that thinking mind, trying to analyze what's going on. Just come back and enjoy the process. Come back to the present moment of the experience and allow joy to come up. So now I should also say what we're looking at is the development of the enlightenment factors as well. Why? Because what is dependent upon the disenchantment, or rather, what is disenchantment dependent upon? Equanimity. So the enlightenment factor of equanimity is present. Dependent on concentration, the equanimity arises. So you need the concentration factor. Dependent on sukha, the concentration is there. And dependent upon relaxation, the tranquility factor, the sukha is there. Dependent upon the joy factor, the tranquility is there. Remember, when we're doing the six R's, what are we doing? We are recognizing, so bringing up the mindfulness, bringing up investigation of states, releasing, balancing the energy, relaxing, having tranquility, coming to the smile, bringing up joy, coming back to your object, concentration and equanimity throughout. But let's say you don't have joy, then what do you do? I say, bhikkhus, that rapture too has a proximate cause. It does not lack a proximate cause. And what is the proximate cause for rapture? It should be said gladness. This is pamoja in Pali. This is happiness in the Dhamma. What are you guys here for? What have you been doing for the last 10 days? Understanding the Dhamma, practicing, developing your sila, making the right effort. So the right effort causes the mind to be, oh, I'm getting the hang of this, the self-confidence, the joy in the Dhamma, the joy in doing this. That brings up the joy in meditation. That brings up then the tranquility, that brings up the comfort and happiness, that brings up the collectedness, that brings up the equanimity, then that brings up disenchantment, that brings up dispassion, that brings up cessation. But let's say you don't have gladness either, then what do you do? I say, bhikkhus, that gladness too has a proximate cause. It does not lack a proximate cause. And what is the proximate cause for gladness? It should be said faith, conviction. You all came here out of some kind of faith, the willingness and openness to see what this practice is about. That's the first level. Now, as you cycle through this process, you will go through cycles as you have each attainment, as you have each cessation. Then the faith will be stronger. There will be experiential confidence in the Buddha, Dhamma, and Sangha. In that process, then you do the right effort. When you do the right effort, you experience relief from the hindrances. Because of that, there is gladness. From that gladness, there is joy. From that joy, there is tranquility. From that tranquility, there is comfort. From that comfort, there is collectedness. From that collectedness, there's equanimity. From that equanimity, there's disenchantment. From that disenchantment, there's dispassion. From that dispassion, there's cessation, and then the knowledge. But let's say you don't have faith. Then what happens? I say, bhikkhus, that faith too has a proximate cause. It does not lack a proximate cause. And what is the proximate cause for faith? It should be said, suffering. You haven't suffered enough. You see, when somebody experiences suffering, two things can happen. Either they find a way out, which is where the samvega comes from, or they just continue on with their lives. Until there's an actual pain point, people won't change. That's why it makes no sense to go back into the real world and start to evangelize this practice. When people actually experience and see for themselves that, oh, this person is calm, non-agitated, what's going on with them? And they come to you, then you can say, hey, this is what I've been doing. Then if they're interested, they can check it out for themselves. But no point in being a Dhamma evangelist. Let your actions, let your words, let your thoughts be the inspiration. So this is transcendental dependent origination. There's more to this because then it goes into the mundane dependent origination. So I'll just go through that quickly. I say, bhikkhus, that suffering too has a proximate cause. It does not lack a proximate cause. And what is the proximate cause for suffering? It should be said, birth. I say, bhikkhus, that birth too has a proximate cause. It does not lack a proximate cause. And what is the proximate cause for birth? It should be said, habitual tendencies. I say, bhikkhus, that habitual tendencies too have a proximate cause. They do not lack a proximate cause. And what is the proximate cause for habitual tendencies? It should be said, you guys remember? Clinging. I say, bhikkhus, that clinging too has a proximate cause. It does not lack a proximate cause. And what is the proximate cause for clinging? Craving. I say, bhikkhus, that craving too has a proximate cause. It does not lack a proximate cause. And what is the proximate cause for craving? It should be said, feeling and perception. For feeling, it should be said, what is the proximate cause of feeling? Contact. What is the proximate cause of contact? Sixth sense basis. What is the proximate cause of the sixth sense basis? Mentality, materiality. What is the proximate cause for mentality, materiality? Consciousness. What is the proximate cause for consciousness? Formations. What is the proximate cause for formations? Ignorance. So, thus, bhikkhus, with ignorance as proximate cause, what comes to be? Formations come to be. With formations as proximate cause, consciousness comes to be. With consciousness as proximate cause, mentality, materiality. With mentality, materiality as cause, sixth sense bases. With sixth sense bases as cause, contact. With contact as cause, with feeling as cause, with craving as cause, with clinging as cause, with habitual tendencies as cause, with birth as cause, with suffering as cause. Let's see how well you guys listen today. Faith. With faith as cause, gladness. With gladness as cause, rapture. With rapture as cause, tranquility. With tranquility as cause, sukha, comfort. With happiness. With happiness as cause, concentration. With concentration as cause, equanimity. With equanimity as cause, disenchantment. With disenchantment as cause, with dispassion as cause, cessation. This is the whole path. These are the whole of the Four Noble Truths. Just as bhikkhus, when rain pours down in thick droplets on a mountain top, the water flows down along the slope and fills the cleft, gullies, and creeks. These being full, fill up the pools. These being full, fill up the lakes. These being full, fill up the streams. These being full, fill up the rivers. And these being full, fill up the great ocean. So too, in the same way, all of these fill up one after the other. So with ignorance, then comes formations, consciousness, nama rupa, and so on. So it just keeps going. So to understand where you are in your practice, to understand what you need to do, just understand the transcendental dependent origination. This is what you have been doing for the last 9 days. Following the Eightfold Path. The Eightfold Path is interwoven in that. The enlightenment factors are interwoven in that. Right effort is interwoven in that. All of the 37 requisites for enlightenment are interwoven in that. But for simplicity's sake, just understand what is required in your meditation based on that series of links of transcendental dependent origination. If you're having a problem with your meditation, go back one step. Develop that, then come back. This is how you do it. This is how you problem solve in your own meditation. This is how you troubleshoot your meditation. Now, there is another sutta similar to this, which are 10.1, 10.2, 10.3, 10.4, 10.5, Anguttara Nikaya. They're all the same, but I'm going to just read 10.1. It's very similar to this, but there's a little bit of a difference, and you'll see what I'm talking about. So this is from, Anguttara Nikaya 10.1, which is called, What Purpose? Thus have I heard, on one occasion, the Blessed One was dwelling at Savatthi in Jetta's Grove, Anathapindika's Park. Then the Venerable Ananda approached the Blessed One, paid homage to him, sat down to one side, and said to him, Bhante, what is the purpose and benefit of wholesome, virtuous behavior? Ananda, the purpose and benefit of wholesome, virtuous behavior is non-regret. Keeping your precepts leads to non-regret, a mind that is not agitated, a mind without any regret or remorse. And what, Bhante, is the purpose and benefit of non-regret? The purpose and benefit of non-regret is gladness, pamoja. So here, in the first sequence, we saw faith leads to gladness. But that faith requires effort. What is that effort? Right effort of letting go, where you have enough energy. And what is the energy coming from? Keeping the precepts. Your mind becomes purified at one level when you keep the precepts. Your intentions become purified when you keep the precepts. From there, there's non-regret. From that non-regret, there is pamoja. And what, Bhante, is the purpose and benefit of pamoja? The purpose and benefit of pamoja is rapture, joy. And what, Bhante, is the purpose and benefit of rapture? The purpose and benefit of rapture is tranquility. And what, Bhante, is the purpose and benefit of tranquility? The purpose and benefit of tranquility is sukha. And what, Bhante, is the purpose and benefit of sukha? Concentration. And what, Bhante, is the purpose and benefit of concentration? Equanimity. And what, Bhante, is the purpose and benefit of equanimity? Disenchantment. And what is the purpose of disenchantment? Dispassion. And what is the purpose and benefit of dispassion? Cessation. Thus, Ananda, the purpose and benefit of wholesome virtuous behavior is non-regret. The purpose and benefit of non-regret is pamoja. The purpose and benefit of pamoja is joy or rapture. The purpose and benefit of rapture is tranquility. The purpose and benefit of tranquility is happiness or sukha. The purpose and benefit of sukha is concentration. The purpose and benefit of concentration is the knowledge and vision of things as they really are, equanimity. The purpose and benefit of equanimity is disenchantment. The purpose of equanimity is dispassion. And the purpose and benefit of dispassion is the knowledge and vision of liberation. Thus, Ananda, wholesome, virtuous behavior progressively leads to the foremost. That's it. That's the path. That's all you have to do when you get off retreat now. Make sure you keep the precepts. So, you know, Bhante would say, you know, if you take care of the Dhamma will take care of you. Which means if you keep your precepts, then everything else falls into place. Just keeping your precepts, your mind remains pure. Your mind remaining pure, your intentions remain pure. Your intentions remaining pure, you won't get caught up or catch yourself in doing things that cause regret. And because of that, your mind remains steady. Maybe not fully steady, but steady enough to start the process of meditation, of samadhi. From there, that leads to the knowledge and vision of things as they are, which is insight and wisdom. So the tools that you have now, the loving kindness, the compassion, the empathetic joy, the equanimity, the forgiveness, the six R's, this is stuff you can apply in every moment. You find yourself stuck in a situation that can aggravate the mind. What do you do? Six R. Bring up equanimity. You find a situation where a person comes and berates you and gets angry at you. What do you do? Before you react, what do you do? Six R. Take a couple moments. Bring up loving kindness. Bring up compassion. Then respond. You find yourself in a situation where you find envy coming up. What do you do? Recognize that. Let go of that. Bring up empathetic joy. You find yourself in a situation where you're holding on to something. You feel terrible about something. What do you do? Forgiveness. So this is practical Dhamma. This is how you cultivate the mind of an awakened being. Generate loving kindness. Keep the precepts, generate loving kindness, generate compassion, generate mudita, generate upekha. Be patient, be forgiving. Now, you know, you're in a retreat setting. It's much easier to do these things. Now the real test is what you do off retreat. That's a lot of times what people ask me, what do I do off retreat? And I say there is never any off retreat. It's just a mentality. You can still be on retreat while off retreat. It'll be a little more challenging, that's all. But make it like a game. Be like a little child. Make it like a game. Now you understand what happens when you take things personally. Now you understand what happens when you identify with situations. Now you understand how craving arises. In recognizing that, you're able to let go. You're able to 6R. And as you do this, other people become motivated, inspired by that. Instead of continuing the old patterns of an eye for an eye, he said that to me, she said that to me, I'm going to get back at them. How could they say that to me? Why do they do that? Instead of all of those habitual tendencies, you can now recognize them, let them go. And apply the Dhamma. Be a peacemaker. De-escalate situations. Be more aware. Be more mindful. Be more attentive. That's the key. Attention to everything. Relaxed attention to everything. Not trying to focus and figure out things. In the relaxing of it, everything presents itself. You just have to be there, present. That's all I have now. I'm done.